Hi everyone, thanks for tuning in to our first episode. This is the official podcast of the Limb Lengthening and Reconstruction Society. I'm Dave Frumberg from Yale University. Like every single other member of the LLRS, I'm passionate about complex limb reconstruction. We're a unique society in that we're all looking to make each other better and inspire others through collaboration and education. The LLRS was founded in 1989 as ASAMI North America, or the Association for the Study and Applications of Methods of Ilazarov. That would be Gavriil Ilazarov, the great pioneer of limb reconstruction techniques. Since that time, the LLRS has been the authority on limb lengthening, limb reconstruction, limb salvage, infections, defect management, non-unions, deformity correction, all sorts of crazy stuff. In this first season, we actually hope to mirror everything the LLRS is about and ideally inspire you to get involved with us. You'll hear about the society itself, exciting research, technology, innovation, history, learning opportunities. It's going to be really great. I want to acknowledge the other LLRS members that are bringing you this podcast, Dr. Mitchell Bernstein from McGill in Montreal, Dr. Raymond Liu from Rainbow Babies and Case Western in Cleveland, and Dr. Jacqueline Hill from Texas Children's Hospital and Baylor in Houston. If you're tuning in from your phone or wherever you get your podcasts, you can check it out in video format on our website, llrs.org. In this first episode, Mitch Bernstein hosts our current LLRS president, Dr. Austin Fragman. We hope you enjoy this conversation as an introduction to our society and what we've been up to lately and where we're going.
Austin Fragman, welcome to our first ever podcast that you told us to make. Why? we are not talking about politics tonight, but you are the president of the Limb Lengthening and Reconstruction Society. Welcome, Austin Fragman.
Thank you, Mitch Bernstein. I'm really happy you took this on as a project. You did an amazing job with your last podcast series, and I think that you're the man for the job for this podcast series. The vision was to try to communicate with our membership in this time when it's really hard to communicate, in person. So I thought that it would be really nice to discuss the topics that we're passionate about in another forum. And I know that when I'm driving to work, I would love to play a podcast of, some of my contemporaries and some of my heroes and some of the up and coming experts in the field of limb deformity and just listen to what they have to say. And I think that, I think we've assembled a nice team of people who are really interested in doing the podcast series to really do more than I even envisioned, which was to interview people who had recently published papers and discussion with the author, that kind of thing, meet the authors. But this really could be sort of limitless as how we use this forum. So anyway, I'm really happy to be here and honored that you are interviewing me first.
Thank you. We actually have an amazing upcoming episodes. Our next episode is going to be with Mark Dahl, who published a recent publication on, I guess you would call it extramedullary limb lengthening of femur with the precise nail. I'm also going to interview some of the vendors. I'm hoping to interview Orthofix and NuVasive and Smith & Nephew and talk about almost like a reverse consulting thing. Talk about, strategic plans, et cetera. So what happened to you as the president with COVID? So how did that affect, maybe just talk about the meeting. How did that work out for you with the cancellations and everything?
So it's been topsy-turvy from the start, Mitch. I was second vice president, and then Chris Yopes was unable to move into a president role. So then I kind of skipped first vice president and became president. I wasn't sure I was mentally prepared or had made enough connections in the AAOS, but that was okay. So it started that way. And then we planned really an outstanding meeting in New York City for summer 2020.
Yes, my wife was planning to be there. We had the whole trip planned.
I literally like went to international meetings every month and was recruiting a big international crowd to come to the meeting. Went to lots of national conferences. I really think we would have a huge turnout. And then obviously COVID hit. And so that was tanked. And then of course there was a lot of worry about, well, how's that going to affect us financially? Because New York City is expensive. We put huge deposits down on all these venues. And it turns out we can just carry that over till next year. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to next year in New York. So how did that happen? Well, you know, we ended up having our meeting and we did it virtually. And I think a lot of societies did the same, ended up with a virtual annual meeting. And I think it was very successful. I think that, you know, the truth is that the papers that were submitted were probably the most numerous that have been submitted since I've been on the board. And they were excellent quality. So, you know, we had excellent quality papers 2 years ago in Boston. Last year, the abstracts were outstanding. So we couldn't just not present them and wait a year because there'll be a whole new batch of phenomenal abstracts the following year. So it had to get presented. So we did the virtual meeting. You know, we had to find a vendor. That was interesting. We had to interview multiple vendors and finally stuck with who we usually use for non-virtual meetings, PSAV. They were excellent. So built a whole website with them and a landing page for people to go to. I think, you know, the biggest obstacle of any virtual meeting is if you charge for it, then you're immediately limiting the amount of people that are going to come. I think that, I think we ended up having, I don't know what it was, 200, 300 people come to the meeting, which is awesome. And in person, that would have been like really unparalleled turnout. But for virtual, you know, you see people who can throw together a virtual meeting and a Zoom meeting with 300 people, like it was nothing. So, you know, I think it was successful. The vendors were pretty happy with the meeting and they supported us well. I think that the meeting went off very well. There was a forum for people to discuss, ask questions. And, you know, we were able to get through the talks. Nothing was pre-recorded. So there was a certain very, very genuine aspect to it. One of the benefits of being a small and nimble society is that we don't have to do mass production, pre-record everything. So I think that was kind of nice. So people enjoyed it, but you know, not seeing anyone, not sharing a lot of ideas, not hanging out for 3 days straight is irreplaceable, you know? So this worked out well. I think that, you know, we weathered the storm.
You can still access the really great virtual meeting content online at our website, llrs.org. Now let's get back to the interview with Austin and Mitch.
The board was faced with a big decision about how do we advance in COVID? You know, do we do what the Academy did where you just switch presidents as you normally would and move on? We decided, again, because we're small and nimble, to just pause the board. And every board member was unanimously on board with that, where they would stay in their current position for an additional year. I think that at the end of the day, you know, we did the virtual meeting, but this year is a little bit of a dud. And it would have been, I would have felt really badly for the next president to have to reign over this year, because I feel like they would have missed out on a lot of the personal aspects of LRS and getting together at the Academy and everything. So, you know, in that sense, I think that this was the easiest way to get through COVID, was just to freeze the board. Everybody stays in their position. And, you know, the board did it as a favor to me. So we could actually have that New York meeting just a year later in summer 2021, which we have all the venues marked out. None of them went out of business yet. So maybe the hotel, but other than that, nobody went out of business. So we're in good shape.
What about, you're pretty active on social media. Do you think, Zoom and Twitter and Instagram, that modality of delivering content is here to stay. You're on Twitter.
Yeah, so I've played around with Twitter. It's been about 3 years now. And I think that, you know, I've fallen into...
What's your Twitter handle? You're on Twitter right now? What's your Twitter?
Yeah, it's at SmileNY. So that's my Twitter handle.
I can't believe I know the word handle. Mind you, I can't not believe it, but I'm not on Twitter.
So, you know, I've fallen into a nice group of colleagues. And we share ideas and people ask questions and present really neat stuff. And it's very cool. It doesn't really reach patients. So it's actually more of a professional site almost, where I'll post really complex stuff that a patient wouldn't understand anyway. So I don't use it as an advertising mechanism. I really use it to communicate with my colleagues. And then I started a Twitter site for the LRS. There hasn't been a lot of activity on that because, you know, if there's an LRS function or something changes or something worth announcing, I can immediately announce it, right? I think that that's a nice way for the president.
Is our podcast on that Twitter feed? Is tonight's meeting?
It will be.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so it's a nice way for the president to directly communicate with the membership. So I like that. So that's a separate Twitter account. That's like LRS Prez 2020 that, you know, has less followers, but I think at least half the membership follows me anyway. And that's kind of like the emergency hotline where I can just tweet something out if there's of interest. I've recently started an Instagram account, and that's really more taking it down a notch and just trying to communicate with patients and really it's a patient education type venue. So totally different. And I've even employed a little bit of help with that, with a PR person, real digital marketing expert, who's helping me keep it simple and fun. And in that way, trying to engage patients more. And it's something that wouldn't come naturally to a doctor, you know? So I've been doing all those things on social media, and it's been cool. And we use Facebook. You know, Rob and I share a Facebook account, and the Instagram stuff goes on there, and then we post different things on Facebook. So I think it's important, you know, and I think Rob has kind of showed the way on this, or led the way. What's important is, you know, you call it marketing, whatever you want to call it, but getting the message to the world that this field exists is a mandate. And I think it's something that the leadership should do. And I think it's something a lot of us are doing. You know, Hertzenberg has a great account that I see him posting, and Paley's account's busy. So I think that people are doing this, you're really using social media, and I think it helps all of us in the end of the day and helps grow the field.
You just mentioned mandate, and you mentioned the academy. So walk us through maybe some of the non-politically involved listeners to the relationship with the Board of Specialty Societies, the American Academy, as it pertains to leveraging or making them aware of us as a group, and how's that experience been, and what do they think of us?
So I think that it's a really interesting story, and it's a story of parallel play. That's the story. The story is that the academies are the cool kids at school, and we've been hanging out in our own clique. We don't eat lunch together, and you know, we're in the same class. We never talk, so no one knows anyone. And you know, when I got there on a mission to really get LLRS on the board, and you know, ideally to create a new section or category at the annual meeting that, you know, imagine in purple, like limb deformity, or when you submit your abstract, you can click limb deformity. That's where I want to send the abstract. I don't want to send it to the knee. I don't want to send it to hip reconstruction. I don't want to send it to PEDS, which is just an abyss. You know, I want to send it to limb deformity. So that was the goal. It's a long road to that goal. That's what I can tell you. But it starts with who the hell is the LLRS, you know? So the only real avenue that we have, and we never really utilized, to the academy, the main access point is through BOS, the Board of Subspecialty Societies, which itself has changed its structure and function.
But its role clearly is to represent us at the academy level, right? I mean, they're like
Board of Subspecialty Societies is
advocacy group,
has a mission statement that says it is there to advocate for each subspecialty society, no matter how big you are. So I leveraged that and proposed an advisory opinion. I guess it was in 2019 at this point. And that was to say that we should have our own category. And that required sign-on from multiple societies. So, you know, there's like 22 societies. So we were able to get about 14 to sign on. Some of the couple big ones didn't. One was because one group was worried about politics. The other group just didn't agree with the whole concept of a small society having its own category. But the majority of societies who we all work with, right? Like, you know, I work with the sports doctors all the time. They have a big DFO they need done and they want to do a patellar realignment at the same time. Well, there you go. We work together. Or foot and ankle. I mean, foot and ankle was completely on board with our having our own our category. We work with them all the time, and they send their big ankle foot deformities to us, and we fix them. So for a lot of societies, it was a no-brainer, and they signed on. So anyway, we had a lot of sign-on, and then it went to a vote at one of the academy meetings, like fall meeting, I think it was. So it went to a vote, and all BOS and BOC, Board of Counselors, which is your government level orthopedic surgeons who are super important in influencing your local Senate to not pass horrible laws, crippling doctors. So the BOC was there and each had a vote on it. And, you know, I didn't know the BOC guys at all. I hadn't really rattled on those doors, but the majority approved of our advisory opinion, and the BOS overwhelmingly approved of our majority opinion. And this was against the advice of the actual board of the BOS, because they, you know, there was politics. So anyway, this all translated into one, the academy now knows that the LLRS exists and knows more that we're fighters. Not the Lumbar Research Society, which came up many times. So they almost know our name. I spearheaded a new logo that would.
Yes, we're gonna put that on at one of these. We're gonna have that in the background
to see what we're called. There's no research or scoliosis or lumbar in the name, so it was important to modernize our look. And to make it real legible as far as who our society is, that was part of the reason that we needed a new logo. So anyway, they know who we are. They know what we want. And, you know, it's going to be all about relationships and building bridges. So this year, what we did as an entry level type of assault on the academy and annual meeting was to co-brand 10 ICLs. And those were all submitted. I heard one of them was accepted through the grapevine, through the academy, unofficially at a meeting was accepted, but there's no official.
Controversial, very controversial. So, you've heard it here first.
I think that, you know, if you have POSNA and LRS submit an ICL to the academy that says, we both think this is important and want our memberships to go see this ICL, the academy can't really ignore that and say, this isn't important. You know, we don't think the membership, I mean, you know, if you have two societies, if we co-brand with OTA and say OTA and LRS both think that this topic's really good. And here's the four lectures and here's a spread of lecturers from different hospitals and different societies. Again, I think that they're going to be somewhat compelled to accept that. So my goal, I hope, is that we get all 10 ICLs accepted. And then you'll see in the book, you'll look through the annual book, and for the first time, LLRS will be in it, right, as a co-branding for ICLs. And then we have a presence, right? Then we need to get people onto the boards, the specific subspecialty boards that decide which papers get accepted and don't get accepted. And one other great position we got, Jill Flanagan was brought on to the annual planning committee. So that's a big deal. And then we have people who are favorable to us on the committee that actually comes up with the agenda for the academy. So it's all about relationship building, being present. You know, I strongly encourage our membership to apply for CAP, which is the program that you look at the Academy website once a week, go to AAOS.org once a week, and just look through CAP, which is volunteer opportunities through the Academy. And you can say, oh, you know, maybe I'll help write test questions for AOFAS, for the board. And then suddenly there's an LRS member there, right? So the more we infiltrate and join the Academy, the more we'll be represented at the annual meeting.
Okay, that's very very strategic and very interesting. You know, I'm on the board, so I hear some of these conversations, but it's been very fascinating to see you do this. It's been a big effort. So let's wrap it up here with maybe what are you most proud of in terms of accomplishments specifically for the LLRS in the past year or two, and then what do you hope to continue for the next, you know, 2 to 3 years, strategic plan short term?
Sure. So what I'm most proud of, and I can't prove this, is energizing the board. I think I've done that. I think that we have a very energetic board that really wants to get involved and do stuff and push the LRS to be its best. So, you know, I think that I didn't know what the role of the president would be. And I sort of saw that the role of the president was to organize the annual meeting and to oversee specialty day a little bit. And that's kind of where we're at, you know, and everyone's busy and, you know, I get it. But I thought that we had a few agenda items that were really important. And I also saw the LRS sort of facing a little bit of a crisis because our membership was stagnant, and meaning the number of new members and old members, it was kind of stagnant and less than 200. And the turnout at the meetings, if you actually look at the average turnout of LRS members at the LLRS, it was around 40 to 50 people. So that's pretty bad. And that's going back 10 years. Boston was a bigger turnout. Boston was almost 100 members. So that's like a huge accomplishment. But if you talk to other societies, they're getting an 80% turnout. You know, here we are like a 30 to 40% turnout. That's awful. So I felt like we kind of lacked some direction, and I felt like, you know, I was worried people would start to just get more interested in their other societies. So we have a lot of POSNA members, we have OTA members, we have AOFAS members. I started worrying we're going to start losing them to the other societies and they kind of lose interest in the LRS. So we needed to really revitalize the LRS, and it's been that effort. So, you know, everything we've talked about, you know, getting more involved in the Academy, letting them know who we are, getting them excited about us, you know, getting a little facelift by making a new logo. The logo, people went nuts with the logo. I mean, you know, I had a guy from Alaska call me up and was like, dude, the logo is awesome. And then we gave talks together and I see the logo on there. I was
very
like,
nice logo. Logo's
everywhere, man. Then I saw some other international group had like stolen our logo already. And I was like, oh my God, we got to put a Sami North America on there. So there's like a lot of energy behind that. And, you know, then this podcast series, I think this is going to generate a buzz, and I think it's going to be really cool. Everyone's going to want to listen to it. You know, COVID was a damper on our society, but there's a lot of international interest. So I can say that during my presidency, we've had at least 20 new members sign up. I don't think we've lost anyone. You know, I've tried to reach out to everyone personally, certainly like, you know, within the beginning of the presidency, to just say hi and touch base and try and recruit them to go to New York for the meeting. So, you know, I'm proud of all that. I'm proud of the idea that the board has worked unanimously on everything. So if it isn't unanimous, then we're not doing it. So, you know, I was about to work on this textbook with Leonid Solomon, and the vision, my vision was that, boy, wouldn't it be great to have like a how-to manual textbook for XFIX application that the whole world could use. And the guy's brilliant. And, you know, you look through his book, it's a little bit heavy on detail and it's very him. So, you know, the technique for putting pins in, the where you put the pins, where you put the wires, his frames, setups, all that is uniquely Leonid. And, you know, I presented it to the board and, you know, I'd say that the consensus was that the LRS board didn't feel that this really represented us and the way that we use XFIX. And therefore, the board didn't really want to get behind it and didn't want to like co-brand it. And based on that, I dropped the project with him, which he was not happy about. But, you know, if the whole board isn't into this, then we're not going to do it because, you know, the president's there for a year. And if you don't have policies that everybody's interested in, then they will die with your presidency. So, you know, Ray Liu's coming up the pike and Reed, and they're totally on board with all the things that I started because, you know, we talk offline a lot, the three of us, to make sure that we're all totally into the projects that we start so the next one can finish them. You know, I think other things, accomplishments, there's a lot of accomplishments. You know, I did a little tweet out on that. There's a little video that's on the LRS.org site. But, you know, our collaboration with Baltimore Limb Deformity Course, that was actually initiated by John Herzenberg. And these guys are really pumped up to work together. You know, the February meeting had to get canceled, obviously, because of COVID. And it was really an experiential meeting, so you can't do it virtually. So that was cool. You know, the journal thing is interesting by adopting a second journal, STLR. You know, that was a lot of back and forth negotiating. We're not on their board, but you know, it's a great avenue for publishing. It's open access, it's actually free open access, and they're totally interested in limb deformity work. So I think that that's, you know, having two official journals is great. A lot of societies have two official journals. So I think that, you know, we've done a lot. We've done it as a group. These are things that I pitch and, you know, either the group likes it or doesn't. If they like it, we do it. If they don't, we don't do it. So it's all been a group effort.
All right. Well, thank you very much for this evening's chat. We're not going to talk about the U.S. election tonight, November 11th, 2020, not for the podcast. Anything else final you'd like to say that I forgot to ask you? Any final words?
I've given you a lot of words today. So,
well, we appreciate it. We don't have to. Just an opportunity in case you had anything left to. I would say, you know what? I was told you're supposed to ask that at a podcast.
I'm very proud of you, Mitch.
Thank you very much.
You know, I will say that you have delivered the most number of fellows to our fellowship, which directly speaks to your ability to animate people, motivate people, get them super interested in what you're doing. So that's amazing. I'm really impressed that you have touched so many people's lives through your passion for limb deformity work that you've literally sent us four fellows in a row who happen to all be very well trained, obviously because you trained them. And, you know, I mean, Reggie gets credit too, no question. But these are fellows that came from Loyola and from McGill. So, you know, the only common thread there is Mitch Bernstein. So great job. Keep up.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, thank you again, Austin Fragman, the president of the LLRS. Stay tuned. We got some very hot topics coming up over the next couple months. And have a pleasant evening or day whenever you're listening to
this. There's a new logo.
There's the new logo, LLRS. Beautiful logo. All right. Thanks, Austin.
All right. Be well.
Thank you again to Dr. Fragman for joining us for our inaugural episode. If you're listening on the go, please visit our website, llrs.org, for information about our society, learning opportunities, and for video content. Follow us on Twitter, and this is one word, at Limb Deformity. This podcast was produced and edited by Rodney Baker. Additional thanks to Karen Sizdek. Stay safe, everyone. We'll see you next month.